Well, I'm stirred up.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I am stirred up. Praise God. Well, the word's good.
Amen.
Thank you for joining me. Hope you have your Bibles ready. Praise God. Go with me to John 16:33. This is the last night of our series that we have. I think it's the fourth or fifth night. I can't remember which one it is, but it's of being prepared. And being prepared right now, helping us get through some things now, but helping us to get through things in the future. But let's go ahead and let's pray and believe God for utterance tonight. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for your mercy, for your goodness, for your love, for your kindness. Father, I thank you for all that you've done for us, for all that you've given to us. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. Lord, where would we be without the Word? I know the answer to that. We'd be lost. Father, the Word is like a roadmap. The Word is like a GPS. The Word is like a compass. And Father, we know that this world naturally can be a scary place, can be a place of trouble, can be a place of trial, can be a place of opposition. And there are things that we encounter and face at times that we don't know how to get out of. There's things we need for our lives that maybe we don't know how to get to. But Father, we don't have to wander around in the dark. We don't have to live lost and hopeless and in despair, for you gave us your Word. So Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. We reverence the Word of God tonight. We approach it humbly with hunger and thirst tonight. And Father, I thank you that you'll speak through me, that my words will not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I thank you we'll hit bullseyes in people's hearts. Speak through me tonight, Father, and say things that people need to hear. Father, your precious children are tuning in right now, hungering to hear something from heaven to help them. Father, I thank you that you'll honor that hunger and you'll bless them tonight. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, in John 16:33, Jesus said this. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Well, Jesus is a good Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God. He told us it's not going to be just a bed of roses, you know. He didn't lie to us. He told us the truth. He said there's tests coming. Well, when the teacher said there's tests coming, or teacher says there's tests coming in school, that's your cue to get ready.
Yes.
That's your cue to be prepared. And thankfully, he said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world," which means this, you know, just to kind of sum it up. If we'll do things in him, if we'll do things his way, we can be of good cheer because that victory that he received, we'll walk in that same victory. Jesus purchased our victory for us. You know, James 1 and verse 2 says, my beloved, count it joy when you fall into various tests and trials. Well, why can we count it joy when we fall in various tests or trials? Because there's Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus has already conquered.
Yes.
And Jesus has already overcome. And so we can count it joy because, yeah, we might be in the midst of a test and trial. And we might have tests and trials promised to us, but we have him. He's our victory. He's our help. Praise God. And so we're helping you and we're showing you, you know, in the season we're in, it's a season of testing for a lot of people. You know, this coronavirus pandemic, and, you know, everybody's been affected in some way or another, some more negatively than others, and this is a test, and God wants to help you in this test. But this, like we said in the beginning of this series 4 or 5 weeks ago, this is not the only test we're going to experience.
That's right. That's right.
There's an enemy, and there's an opponent that's coming against us to keep us out of what God has for us. But if we'll do things in him, we can't lose, praise God. So we're helping you to get built up right now, help get you out of this test successfully, but also to get you prepared for the test to come. Because there are going to be things that we are going to encounter as Christians, things we're going to see in our lifetime that God is going to be our only answer. There's not going to be a natural solution. There's not going to be a job or an amount of money or a bank account or a medicine or an answer other than him. And so we got to be ready. We got to be built up because we've seen in this series that when Jesus was tested, His victory depended on what he did. And he did the right thing and he succeeded. Well, it's the same thing. Just like when you were in school, you know, your passing or failing grade wasn't dependent upon the teacher, wasn't dependent upon the other students in class. It was dependent on what you did. And so we want to get you ready for the tests. We know that they're spiritual tests, right? Again, this is review mixed in here. You can go more detail back to the archives, but we know the Bible says our adversary is the devil. And the Bible tells us in several places that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The devil's not a natural being. He's a spirit. He's a spiritual being. And so if our battle comes from that realm, you know, it's good to take care of yourself naturally. It's good to eat right. It's good to exercise. It's good to sharpen your mind. But we can't neglect building our spirit man. That is where we're going to rule and reign from or be ruled and reigned upon. And a lot of people, they are naturally ready with things, you know. They eat right, they take care of their mind, they take care of their bodies, they exercise, and they're strong naturally. But when the attacks come spiritually, it doesn't matter how much you can bench press. It doesn't matter sometimes how good of a diet you're on. It doesn't matter how naturally smart at times. If you're not spiritually ready and built up, the devil will take advantage of that. So we don't want that to happen. We want you to walk into victory. And so we were talking about you needing to be ready. And aren't you so glad I was so kind to share the PMA guidelines with you? I mean, I could have kept them all to myself, but because I love you, I want to share them with you, you know? Just like the CDC, you know, that's a big organization that's getting a lot of attention right now. They have guidelines, don't they? Hand washing guidelines, face masks, different things. For what? To keep people safe, to keep people blessed. Well, the PMA guidelines are the Pastor Mike Anderson guidelines, and we got them right out of the Bible. Praise God. And these guidelines are meant to keep you safe. To keep you ready, to keep you blessed, and to keep you prepared, praise God. And we said these PMA guidelines are meant to be implemented every day of your life. They're not natural guidelines like hand washing or face masks are. They're spiritual guidelines. What will these do for you? They will keep your spirit man strong. They will keep your spirit man ready. So when the tests come, you can pass that test with an A+, praise God. There were kids in my classes that constantly got A's, 100s, 95s, 96s, you know, constantly getting A's. They were never discouraged or worried when a test came. And the main reason was they were prepared. They were ready. They were built up for it, where I came into that unprepared. I came into that not ready. Well, I don't want to be that way spiritually. Listen, I'm telling you right now, this might raise some eyebrows. But how your life turns out from today going forward has more to do with you than it does God. He gives us everything. Didn't Jesus say it's finished? He gives us everything to be successful. He's given us the Holy Ghost. He's washed us of our sins. He's given us the Word of God. From the Word, we learn about all the promises we have. We learn about a force called faith. And Jesus said, if you can believe it, you can receive it. And so you need to be ready, because you say, I want victory. You say, I want prosperity. I want to go over to the land of health and well-being. Well, it depends on what you do. So hopefully you're taking me seriously. If people will take a natural organization seriously with their guidelines, how much more if the Word gives us guidelines, should we take it seriously? And we saw, again, just real quick, we saw there's three of the PMA guidelines that are meant to be implemented every day. And number one is to spend time every day in the Word of God. The Word is like spirit food to our spirit. It's like a supernatural supplement. It's supernatural nourishment. It keeps us strong. It builds us up. Jesus said, by the Word of God, you'll live or experience heaven on earth or abundant life, Matthew 4:4. So you take away God's Word. Remember what Joshua 1:8 says. This book of the law, this word of God shall not depart out of your mouth. But then it tells you, it says this word, you should meditate. You should be in this word day and night, every day, and just consistently in the word of God. Why? It says, for then shall your way be made prosperous, and then you'll have good success. You can't have abundant life apart from the word. And one of the main reasons that is because you can't have faith without the word. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh or shows up or is birthed by the hearing and hearing of the word. Well, if you take away faith, you take away receiving. Hebrews 6:12 says we receive through faith. Ephesians 6:16 says we quench the darts of the enemy by faith. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says we overcome by faith. Well, you can't take away faith. You take away your victory, but you can't have faith without the word. So if the word's not consistently in your life, faith is not consistently in your life, which means victory won't be consistently in your life. So we saw that, be in the word every single day. We saw last week, last Wednesday, the second of the PMA guidelines is to spend every day in prayer. We saw in Luke 18:1 that Jesus said men ought to pray always. What's he saying? Have a consistent fellowship prayer time with the Father. I encourage you to go back and listen to that service. We had so much feedback on that and how it blessed people, and it just gave people a new picture and understanding of their Father in prayer time. It takes away the religion out of it. It takes away the works mentality and just turns it into fellowship. Listen, we're not religious people. We're relationship people. I don't want to have a religious understanding with him. I'm in a relationship with my Father. And Jesus said if men pray always or have a consistent prayer life, the result will be they won't faint. Hallelujah. Well, the reason that is because in prayer time, we are built up in prayer time. In prayer time, we get answers. In prayer time, we get revelation. In prayer time, we get encouragement. In prayer time, we're shown future things that bless us. Praise God. And so we wanted to break down the barriers of prayer because a lot of people don't pray at all. You say, really, Pastor Mike? I'm telling you, there are people that don't even pray, and the reason is they have a wall up between them and God. You listen to that service last week, it'll bust that wall down. It will show you your Father just wants you to be real, just wants you in his presence, just to come fellowship with him, to talk to him, to love on him. Praise God. And so tonight we're going into the third of the PMA guidelines, which is praise. And so I'm excited about this. Go with me tonight to Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. We're going to point some things out here that the Holy Ghost has been putting on my heart all week leading up to this service. Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. And we're going to read down through verse 26. So stay with us here. Praise God. Acts chapter 16 and verse 9. It's okay to read the Bible, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. It says, now, Acts chapter 16, verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Well, we know God is a God that gives visions. Acts chapter 2 tells us that. If you read that, God is a God of visions and revelations and dreams and things. A vision appeared to Paul in the night, and in this vision there stood a man of Macedonia, or a man from the area of Macedonia, and in the vision he prayed him or requested him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So Paul gets a vision from, Paul's just minding his own business, maybe he's praying, maybe he's sleeping, whatever, but he gets a vision in the night. And in the vision he sees a man that's from the area of Macedonia, and in that vision, Paul knows it's from the Lord, and the man's saying, come over here and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. I love how Paul didn't wait to obey God. Hallelujah. We endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came on a straight course to Samothracia. I told you I'm not very edumacated up here. Praise God. I'm trying. And the next day to Neapolis. I'm just glad now we just have places called South Dayton and Lakewood and Jamestown. I could say those words. And it says that that's from Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and Achaia. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, verse 16, this is what I wanted to get to. Remember, he's going into Macedonia. Why is he going to Macedonia? God told him to do it. He's being a good Paul. He's being an obedient little boy, praise God. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Let me translate that for you. This woman had a spirit on her, not from God, of the devil, to be able to tell people's fortunes, to be able to tell people's futures. And the Bible says that she brought her masters much gain by the words that she would say. So she's possessed by a devil, and she's got bosses that recognize that she has this devilish gift on her life. And let me tell you, it's a devilish gift. Lilydale's not of God. Did I just say that? It's true. See, well, Pastor Mike, what do you mean? Well, the Bible talks about things like this being of the devil. Say, yeah, but I've been to one of these things. They read my palm. They had tarot card readings. They told me my future, and it came to pass. The devil has power. And see, the problem with that power is it gets your attention off the real power. See, the world is craving supernatural power. And the devil knows that. And the devil will meet those needs at times to crave, to get people's cravings. But what it does is it takes their attention off God and puts it on different power. Just because somebody told you something from your past or told you that your grandma was wearing this colored dress when you were 7 years old, that don't mean that's God. Amen. Praise God. And we see it here that this person had a spirit of divination, hallelujah, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto the way of salvation. Isn't that interesting? She's possessed of the devil, and she's speaking things that sound right. Why? The devil's a deceiver. The devil's a deceiver. It's true. You know how you can tell what's a cult, what's God, and what's not God? The Word of God.
Amen.
Yeah. What's your doctrine? What's your belief? Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? Praise the Lord. And she's saying the right things, but she's possessed of the devil. Why? The devil's a deceiver. Hallelujah. And she did this many days, verse 18, but Paul being grieved, Paul wasn't blessed by this, he was grieved. He turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. That wasn't a godly thing. Her being able to tell the fortunes of people was not from heaven. And it says, and it came out of her that same hour. Now when her master saw that their hope of gains was gone, now that that spirit's out of her, she can't tell the future anymore, their gains are gone. They caught Paul and Silas, drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. What happened? They troubled their pocketbook. Start messing with people's money, you start stirring some things up. Why? Money's an indicator of your heart. Yeah, that's what Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, where your heart is, your treasure is. It's the truth, praise God. Start messing with people's money and start getting ruffling their feathers. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent or tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Now notice verse 23, the severity of the situation. And when they had laid many, everyone say many. This wasn't just a stub toe. When they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison. Now remember, they already took off their clothes and beat them and stripped them, and then they laid many stripes on them. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, which is the darkest and the worst of the place of the prison back then, and made their feet fast in stocks. They're chained up now. Naked and beaten and bloodied. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, I think we heard about that word tonight. That word suddenly. You turkey hunters, just keep going. Suddenly, one gobble will change everything. You go all day long, one gobble will change everything. God's a God of suddenlies. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. all, and it says that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and loosed. This whole thing changed on a suddenly. Praise God. Now, this is a great example of what we've been talking about. What did Jesus say? In the world, you'll have tests and tribulations. We know, remember when Jesus said, get on the boat, let's go to the other side. The Bible said, there arose a great storm of wind. Wouldn't it be nice if we knew all the time when the tests were coming? That's why we need to be prepared. They're called pop quizzes. Paul didn't wake up this day expecting to be naked, feet in stocks in the inner prison, beaten and bloodied. For doing nothing wrong. Hallelujah. But what we're talking about here and what we've been looking at is that tests are going to come your way. And like I told you, there's going to be tests that come your way. God is your only answer. The only way Paul and Silas were getting out of this was God. But what we see about Paul and Silas here is they were prepared. And when the test questions came, they answered the right way and got a passing grade and got out of this mess. Amen. Praise God. I've seen it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not trying to be dramatic or paint a dark cloud. I've seen Christians go, I've seen one group of Christians, they'll go through something that's not even as intense as another group of Christians. And the other group of Christians will go through something intense, but they'll answer right. They'll stay in faith. They're prepared and ready. And they walk over that test with flying colors. They pass that thing. And the other people that aren't even as an intense test, or maybe an equal test, they're run over. It's dismal. It's despair. Right? It depends what we know. And what we're going to see here is God didn't do anything until Paul and Silas first did something. It's the truth. He didn't. Praise God. So I want to look at this here. Unexpected test, but somebody that was ready for the test. And it made all the difference in the world. So we're going to look at a few things here that the Lord put on my heart. Number one, tests reveal who you really are. And what you really know. Tests bring out the reality of who you are as a person. Well, what do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, think about this. He was unjustly imprisoned. In fact, put in prison for doing something good. Casting the devil out of a girl. And he's messed up now, beaten in prison. And what's Paul's response? Faith. What's Paul's response? Prayer. What's Paul's response? Praise. You know, I get to talk to a lot of people and be around to people. You know, I'm in the people business. And oh man, does the body of Christ have grumblers. And moaners and groaners and complainers. And we looked at that in a sermon a couple weeks ago. If you're a complainer, you better get online and get on that message. Yet it's dangerous to complain. It's actually, the Bible calls it evil behavior. Evil behavior. Behavior that handcuffs your God from helping you. And many Christians, when they go through something, listen, when the money's in the bank account, praise God, he's good. When the healing's in the body and there's no symptoms, praise God, he's good. And the devil says, boo! And the money gets threatened, and the body gets threatened, and your kids get threatened, and your job gets threatened, and circumstances don't go your way, and all the smiles go away. And people get downtrodden and downcast and start to complain and moan and groan. What is that revealing? The real you. Let me give you an example. I failed. How this is possible, I don't know, but it happened. I failed chemistry 3 times. 3 times. Yes, Jake says, wow. Yes, wow. I told you, you're not dealing with an Albert Einstein up here. Failed chemistry 3 times. Now, what are you talking about failed chemistry? When the tests would come and when that final exam would come. Well, what did the tests and the final exam reveal? That I didn't know very much. That I didn't have the right response. Now, what's interesting is you might not know that on the day-to-day basis. What do I mean? Show up in class, hear a lecture from the teacher, do an experiment, you know, dump some chemicals into here or work in a group. You can't really tell during that. And a lot of times people go about and things seem to be going good and people think, wow, what faith giants they are. Wow, they are ready and prepared to go. Listen, it's not when the money's in the bank and when the symptoms are not there and when things all hunky-dory with your children that bring out the real you. When you're put to the fire, the real you comes out. And if grumbling and moaning and groaning and whining and doubt and unbelief and anger towards God and come out, that reveals you are not prepared. Because Paul didn't respond that way. If there was anybody that had a natural reason to complain, grumble and be like, hey, God, what the heck's going on here? It was him. He's only in Macedonia because God gives him a vision. He's only in the jail because a lady with a devil comes and the Spirit of God tells Paul, cast that thing out. He's just obeying Jesus. And he ends up in a bad, bad place. But he never questioned God. He never grumbled against God. He never wondered why me. No, he was built up. He knew, hey, it's test day. Yes, listen, when the teacher handed out the tests in school, complaining didn't get you a passing grade. Yeah. When the teacher handed out a test in school, grumbling, moaning, and groaning about it, saying, why me? You're unfair. This isn't fair. It didn't get you a passing grade. But you know what did? Getting your pen or pencil out and writing down the right answer. That got you a passing grade. Right. Paul got out of this because he was ready and prepared and answered the right way. But that brings me to my point too. How in the world would Paul be able to respond in a test like this? The same way if you'll do what I'm teaching you, the next time hell shows up on your front door, you'll respond the same way too. Test day shows up, and instead of grumbling and this isn't fair and God, why me? You're going to respond the right way, but not if you're not prepared. But here's the cool thing about Paul. Paul was an implementer of the PMA guidelines. Paul thought, Pastor Mike, these are right on the money. Pastor Mike, your guidelines every day of word time, prayer time, and praise time, I need to implement them in my life. And Paul was a doer of the PMA guidelines. Yes, he was. Praise God. Now, maybe I got them from him, but we'll just leave that to the imaginations. But for now, we're going to pretend that Paul heard this message and said, we got to start doing this, praise God. Well, let me tell you what I mean by this. See, Paul didn't just all of a sudden. See, when test time comes, that's not the time to start studying. That's not the time when the test gets laid onto your desk to say, oh, whoa, hold on, teach. I have to get this information in me. No, it's time to take the test. Yeah. Test time, Paul, when he was in prison, responded the right way. He didn't get ready that day. Say, what are you talking about? Paul did the PMA guidelines. Well, first with me, go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5. I want to show you about Paul. Because if Paul was a doer of these and got results, it should tug the light bulb string in your brain and wake you up to say, you know what? Maybe I should listen to the PMA guidelines. Philippians 3 and verse 5, Paul says this. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day. He's talking about who he was before he became a Christian and his accolades as a Jew. It says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Notice this. He says, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. What's he saying? Top of the line. As touching the law, look what he said, a Pharisee. Now that might not stand out to you. Touching the law, a Pharisee, his knowledge of the law, the word of God, was as such that the Pharisees were the highest of the highs. They had to know the word inside and out if you study them. You can only know the word inside and out if you're spending time in the word inside and out. Paul would have known what Joshua said, that the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Paul was very zealous to be a doer of the word. We know that Paul spent time every day in the word of God. Go to Philippians 4 and verse 4. Hallelujah. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Paul said this, rejoice in the Lord always. He didn't say just rejoice in the Lord in test time. Now we should rejoice in the Lord in test time. He said rejoice in the Lord always. When I wake up, I'm rejoicing. When I'm going about my day, I'm rejoicing. When I'm going to work, I'm rejoicing. When I'm driving to work, I'm rejoicing. When I'm coming home, I'm rejoicing. What do we know about Paul? Not only every day was he in the Word, every day, always would be every day, he was what? Rejoicing. Praise God. Go to 1 Corinthians 14:18. Actually got ahead of myself there. I wanted to save that one for third because that's what we're talking about praise tonight, but that's okay. We're going to see it anyways. 1 Corinthians 14:18. Paul said this, I thank my God, I speak in tongues. What's speaking in tongues? Praying with your spirit. Remember the Bible says in verse 14 of that same chapter, if I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. So when he says I speak in tongues more than y'all, what's he saying? I pray more than all of you. Well, to say that, my guess is he probably prayed every day. So we see Paul was in the Word every day. Paul was in prayer every day, and Paul was in praise every day. What was he doing? Implementing the PMA guidelines. What are they meant to do? Keep you built up for what? The test coming from the spiritual tester. Paul was tested big time in Acts chapter 16, but he was ready. How do you know when you're unready? When you complain, when you don't have the answer, when you get into doubt and unbelief, then you're not ready. Now, I look at things logically at times, and my thought is this. That's a pretty major test that Paul faced. Most of us will never have a test that severe, where we're wrongly accused, thrown in prison, and beaten for it. So that's pretty high up on the spectrum of the fire of a test. But Paul showed us in the worst of the worst how to get out of it. He showed us what to do in the test, but he also showed us go into the test prepared. So to me, I look at that and say, wow, pop quiz for Paul, pop test for Paul just out of nowhere, and Paul was victorious. I want to do what Paul did. If Paul was in the Word every day, and Paul was in prayer every day, and Paul was in praise every day, and this is the result, victory, I want victory. I like to imitate those that know what they're doing, that are successful. Don't follow losers. Don't follow the ones that are constantly stumbling. You know, back this was a year ago, Caleb was playing baseball in the summer, and he was struggling with his hitting. And I, this is not being arrogant, it was one thing that was naturally good. I didn't hardly ever struggle with anything when it came to baseball, so there were times I wondered if this was really my son. How can you not hit the ball? I can't figure it out in my head. How are you not hitting the ball? And so we'd go to the field, you know, and I would tell Caleb how to stand, and I would tell Caleb how to hold the bat, and I'd tell Caleb what to do with his feet, what to do with his hips, where to keep his head, his shoulders. I'd tell him everything to do, but Caleb would revert back to what he thought, what was comfortable to him, what felt good to him, and he just kept missing the ball. So I said, son, let's switch spots. I needed Caleb to see that Dad knows what he's talking about. So I took his brand new baseball bat, and I told Caleb, go stand on the pitcher's mound. And I you know, I have good control of the bat. I can make it, so I'm not going to hit it back at him. But I wanted to get up there in the batter's box and show him, hey, this person that's telling you what to do and you're not listening to, he knows what he's doing. And so Caleb pitched to me, and I sat there, and I just slugged those balls. I mean, I was cranking them and hitting them as hard as I could. And Caleb's head is going like this, watching those balls. Wow, Dad! And, you know, I'm kind of putting on the arrogance there to really show him, hey, see what's going on up here? To what? Show him, I know what I'm doing. Yeah. Perk up, son. Maybe follow what your dad's saying. You want results like that. But, you know, I got to tell on myself. I tell on my son. It's only fair to tell on myself. You all know my story, most of you anyways, when I went to the driving range with the golf instructor. And I wanted to get golf lessons. Why? Because I'd go out on the course, I'd hit them in the jingweeds, hit them in the sand trap and in the water and in the woods, lose all sorts of golf balls, you know, not getting good scores. And he says, go ahead and hit the ball. So I stood up there and he says, you're a baseball player, aren't you? I said, yeah. He says, well, you can't hit a golf ball like you hit a baseball. And he stood up and he showed me and he's hitting down the fairway 250 to 300 yards, just nice shots, and my shots are going zinging off to the left, zinging off to the right, skidding along the ground. He says, I'm going to help you with your swing. The first thing we're going to work on is your stance and your grip. He got behind me and started moving me around and grabbing my hands and putting my fingers on the clubs, putting my thumb in a certain way, all weird, and it felt so unnatural. And I thought to myself, what good is this? This isn't going to do any good. It feels so uncomfortable. I don't feel like doing this. I don't understand how this is going to make a difference. And my big mouth, I couldn't contain it. I said those things to him. And he said to me, he said, I just saw how you hit and you saw where your balls went. He said, and you just saw how I hit where my balls went. If you want your balls to keep going off into the weeds and in the water and in the sand, you go ahead and keep doing it your way. But if you want them to go straight down the fairway, maybe you should look at how the pro does it.
Yes, that's good.
So I said, sorry, forgive me. Grabbed that club all weird, did what he said to do, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, immediately I started hitting him down the center. And I wasn't hitting him as far as he was, but I was hitting him straighter than I had ever hit him before. You know what God's saying to us? He's saying, I gave you an example. I gave you the example of arguably the greatest Christian that's ever lived. The one I gave the most revelation to. The one that was used to get this all this going, and the revelation we're still feeding off today was from this man. I schooled this man face to face, Jesus said. He said he didn't go to school to learn it. He learned it from Jesus.
Yeah. Yes.
He says, I've put in front of you an instructor.
Yeah.
And this instructor thought that he, even as anointed as he was, as used and as called as he was, he still thought it necessary to be in the Word every day, to be into prayer every day, and to praise God every day. And here we are, and we wonder, why is my life going off in the weeds? Why is my life going off in the sand trap? Well, are you doing what the instructor says to do? But I don't understand how being in the Word every day is going to help me. I don't understand what praising God. I see it all the time. I'll tell people the power of praise. And I'll be up here in worship and I'll open my eye and I'll see people grabbing onto the seat and just standing there looking like they're as annoyed as can be. Well, what good is praising going to do for my body? What good is praising going to do when I pray in tongues? I don't feel anything. Stop being such a carnal bucket and Mr. and Mrs. Feely Pants.
Yes, that's so
you got to feel everything for it to work.
Come on, that's so good.
Do you think that Paul felt like praying in prison? Do you think his body felt like praising?
Come on, that's good.
You think I felt like grabbing that club that way? No, just like Caleb didn't feel like holding the bat a different way or standing a different way, but follow the one that has success, praise
yes,
God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Some of you will get a revelation and you'll think, you know what? I think it's important for me to eat every day.
Yeah.
I'm going to feed my spirit. Smith Wigglesworth, the man of miracles, signs, and wonders, he said this. He always carried a little pocket testament, New Testament around with him. And every time he would go to naturally, he'd pull out his Bible. And people would ask him, and he'd say, hey, if I'm feeding my natural man, got to feed my spiritual man.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's
the truth.
Yes.
And here we have an example from Paul. Praise God. We have an example in the Word of God. Some of you are going to get a revelation. Say, you know what? I wonder what my life would be if I actually did grab the club that way. If I actually held the bat that way and did my stance different and I actually tried this word thing, prayer thing, and praise thing every day, I wonder what will happen. Some of you are going to start doing it and you're going to see some dramatic
Amen.
Results.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Number three, Go back to Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. We see, we're talking about praise tonight. Remember, we're going to pray it. We're going to be in the Word every day. Every day we're going to spend time in God's Word. Every day we're going to spend time in prayer. And every day we're going to spend time, on purpose time, praising the Father. We know that Paul, the Bible says, he rejoiced the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We know he was a constant praiser and rejoicer in God. But we see that praise was a big part of his deliverance. In Acts 16 and verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. What were they doing? Actually, they were implementing two-thirds of the PMA guidelines, praying and praising. The only reason they didn't do the third is because they didn't have a Bible. They didn't let them have the Word there. Or I bet they'd have been in that too, praise God. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now notice this. At midnight, a certain time, Paul and Silas decided to do something. Well, that would mean that they were in prison before midnight. At 11:30, nothing happened. At 11 o'clock, nothing happened. At 11:45, nothing happened. God's child in prison, beaten, stripped naked, nothing's happening. But at midnight, Paul and Silas do something. Paul and Silas, what do? They answer right. Yes. And the Bible says, the prisoners heard them, and suddenly, there's those suddenlies. I want suddenlies in my life. Okay, start answering right. Yes. Are you every day saying the power of God's working in my body if you have sickness in your body? You want that suddenly of healing? Are you declaring every day the power of God's working in me?
Amen.
Yeah, the power of God's working in my children. My kids are going to change, praise God. God's working in my finances. Money's coming to me. You want a suddenly, but are you doing what would require a suddenly to come? Because this suddenly didn't happen because God all of a sudden said, I'm going to set my timer on my iPhone at midnight to wake up and then do something for Paul and Silas. No, Paul and Silas got God moving by answering right. Yeah. And it says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. What did they do? They answered right. Why did they answer right? Because they were prepared for the test. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Praise has the power to loose some things in your life. Go with me to Isaiah 61 and verse 3. Praise God. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. Glory to God. Look what the Bible says. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Now notice this. The garment of praise. Well, what's a garment? It's something you have to put on. Something you have to put on. The garment of praise for the... He says, I'm going to give you a garment of praise. If you'll put this garment of praise on, it'll be something for you. For the spirit of heaviness. Depression. Oppression. That heavy feeling. Feeling like you're stuck. Feeling like you're going nowhere. Feeling so discouraged. You want out of that, or you want to stay in that the rest of your life? You want to stay in that place of sadness? In that place of oppression, in a place of depression, you can if you want to, but God said, here's an answer. He says, I'm going to give you a garment, and this garment is going to break the spirit of heaviness and weightiness and discouragement and despair and oppression and depression. It's going to break it off you. Praise had the power to open the doors in the prison and break off their chains. And I'll tell people that. People will tell me they're struggling with being discouraged and oppressed and just feeling depressed, down and sad. And I'll say, start praising. And what people will do is they can't get over how they feel.
Come on.
I told you from the beginning of this series, if you wait to feel these things, you'll never do them.
That's right.
Paul and Silas did not feel like praising and praying. But it was the right response. The mature, victorious Christian doesn't give in to their feelings. The mature, victorious Christian is not governed by how they feel. They're governed by what they know.
Yes.
And the Bible says if you want to get out of depression, you want to get out of despair, oppression, sadness, that supernatural, spiritual, demonic grief that's on you, start praising God.
Yes.
What's that going to do? Okay, you can keep holding your club that way if you want to. I know what it's like to be depressed. Most of you know my testimony. 357 Magnum loaded, hammer cocked in my mouth. I was at the depressed as you could get. Would have pulled the trigger had not God given me a supernatural manifestation, a visitation inside my 1986 Chevrolet Cavalier Z24 on a Gaswell Road in Frewsburg, New York. I know what it's like to be depressed. I know what it's like to be in despair. Feel like there's no hope and the weightiness of that. Amen.
Amen.
And I know how to get out of it.
Yes.
There's a garment, a supernatural garment. Listen, if you're facing depression and you're watching right now and you're facing despair and hopelessness, this is your answer.
Amen.
And you feel free to give me a call and I'll help you through this thing. I'm telling you, I've been in the lowest of the lows, in the darkest of the dark. There is hope for you. The devil wants to tell you that there isn't, but he's a liar. He wants to hold you in this place, and tonight's help for you. You're learning tonight about a pastor who's been through it. I know how to get you out of it. I know how to get you out of it, praise God. I don't have any power, but the word sure does, and the anointing does. So if people just praise, well, what's that do? Praise God, praise God. At first, when you start praising, you're going to be completely in the flesh. What do I mean by that? Just kind of not feeling like doing it, but if you'll keep praising God, it'll kick you over into the spiritual realm. The anointing will come in. Why? What do you mean the anointing will come in? Well, let me show you what praise does. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Why would praise, because when you're depressed, the last thing you feel like doing is praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. That's the last thing you feel like doing. But when you praise God, something happens. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. It came even to pass. And don't forget, when Paul and Silas prayed, something happened. As the trumpeters and singers were as of one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, could hear it. And when they lifted up their voice, praise is when you lift your voice, with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Well, that's a good praise to say.
Amen.
You're feeling down and out? Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures. And what's happening? Oh, it doesn't feel like anything's happening. We're not feelers.
Right.
We're doers.
Amen.
Well, this doesn't feel right. We're not going by how you feel. We're going by what we know.
Amen.
Hold the club this way if you want to hit it right. Praise God. When they praise with instruments of music and praise the Lord, say, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. That then, everybody say then, not before then. When they praised, then something happened. Well, what happened? Then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. What brought the glory in? You know what the glory does? Breaks off bondages, breaks off yokes, destroys depression, destroys fear, destroys anxiety. How did the glory of the Lord come in? It came in on the wings of praise. What does Psalms 22 and verse 3 say? For he inhabits or dwells in the praises of his people. When Paul and Silas praised, what happened? Something showed up. When they were standing at the wall of Jericho and the wall was in their face and they began to lift their voice together, what happened? The walls came down. Well, what good is it standing at a wall? God told them to do it. What if they'd have said, what good is it? We get up to the wall. Oh, yeah, right. Like, this is going to work.
Come on.
Just do the word. Just do the word. You need to get up off your depression seat, your despair seat, and not wallow around in that defeat and that hurt, and pace your floor and say, for the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever.
Forever.
How long do I do that? Till the anointing drops on you.
Amen.
Till the fire falls. Will the fire fall? It'll fall.
Yeah.
If you stir it, you know that broccoli cheese soup that's been sitting on the stove?
Yes.
Longer you leave it there without stirring it, the crustier it gets. So, you know, if you only leave it there for a little bit, you only have to stir a little bit. But, man, if that thing's been crusted up for a while, you got to get that spoon in there and you got to stir and stir and stir to get it creamy. Well, there might be people, you've just been a little crusty for a little bit too long. Very carnal. And you have trouble sensing His presence because you've been so in the natural realm. But if you'll turn your attention to Him, even if you were to say, Jesus, Jesus, I worship You, Jesus. Because something happens when I call You. Praise God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Doesn't the Bible say when you call on His name, you'll be saved? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Something happens when I call You. I dare you. I dare you to call Him. I dare you in the middle of your depression, the financial thing, the physical thing, to get off your seat of depression, to get off your seat of defeat and start calling on the name. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The anointing will fall. The power of God will come in and bring you what you need to get past that trial. I better get going. We're almost to 8 o'clock. Got to get you to bed at a good time here. Number four. Praise. We know that you have to be a person of faith. Faith is our part. If you're going to be a person of faith, praise is a key to your faith being strong. You can't be a person of strong faith and not be a person of strong praise. What do I know about Paul? Well, rejoice in the Lord always.
Yes.
What's Paul constantly doing? Praising the Father.
Yes.
Oh, I praise You, Lord. I rejoice in You, Lord.
Yes.
And what happened? He get into hell on earth, and what happened? Faith comes out of him.
Yeah.
Go to Romans 4 and verse 20. Romans 4 and verse 20. It must be a good sermon tonight because I have hawked a bunch of loogies on my pulpit up here. I mean, this is just a breeding ground for coronavirus up here. So the next time someone's in here, grab a Lysol wipe and give this a good wipe down. It is a loogie convention up here. When veins start popping and face starts getting red and the spit starts flying, you know we're giving the devil a black eye, praise God. Romans 4 and verse 20 says, Abraham, in a trial of his life where the natural screamed defeat, where the natural screamed it's never going to happen. And when we know that faith requires us to receive, and some of you are in situations where the natural is screaming at you, where the natural is telling you, no way, you're denied, it's never going to happen. You can't afford to stagger. You can't afford to quit. You can't afford to fall into doubt and unbelief. Because if you faint not, you'll reap. The Bible says he staggered not. He didn't faint. He didn't quit. He didn't stumble around at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Everybody say strong in faith. One translation says he was strengthened in his faith as he gave glory to God. What was that a picture of Abraham? When the natural was yelling at him, Abraham was, Father, I praise you. Father, you are a miracle worker. Father, you are stronger than the natural. Father, you are bigger than what the doctors say. You are bigger than what the natural says. You are bigger than what history says. You are better and stronger than what ages and dates can say. And he stayed strong in faith. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in verse 21 that he was fully persuaded. What's that mean? Full of faith.
Yeah.
How was his faith staying strong? Gave glory to God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
His eyes. Why this strengthens your faith? Because when you praise God constantly, your gaze is constantly on the miracle one.
Yeah.
Your gaze is constantly on the healer.
Yeah.
Your gaze is constantly on the provider. And so when you're constantly looking at the healer, constantly looking at the miracle worker, constantly looking at the provider, Your faith builds and builds for that provision, for that miracle, for that suddenly. So many of you are looking at the test. The Bible doesn't say we're to stare at the mountain. We're to talk about the mountain. We're to think about the mountain. No, we're to stare at the answer. We're to stare at our hope and our help. We're to talk about Him. David did this. And when David faced the mountain that was Goliath, David said, my God will deliver me. His eyes weren't on the giant. His eyes were on his God. Who is this uncircumcised? He didn't look at him as some huge giant who was a man of war and battle. He said, who's this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the armies of the living God? His head's going to be cut off today because of my God, who I've been looking at, who I've been praising. You need to worship Him and praise Him on purpose to keep your faith strong. And so many people won't do it. Why? That's not my personality. Well, your personality is getting you into a whole lot of trouble. It's not how I feel. Well, feelings get people in a whole lot of trouble. Be a doer of the Bible. Get your focus on Him. Father, You are the miracle worker. You need a miracle? Start looking at all the miracles He did in the Bible. When we needed a building in South Dayton, if you've ever been through South Dayton, it's not a booming metropolis. There's not a whole lot of places to have church. And it looked like there was nothing. And we looked for months. I said, how can you look for months? Just keep coming back and look at the same things over and over again. And I kept saying to the Lord, I go back and I'd read when He parted the Red Sea for the Israelites. And I would say this when I come to South Dayton, Father, just like You called the Israelites to the Promised Land and they got to get past the Red Sea to get to the Promised Land, just like You called me to South Dayton, just as much as You parted the Red Sea, I thank You for a building, Father. And I kept my faith open. Father, I thank You for a building. I thank You the church will be full in South Dayton. Just keep my eyes on the miracle worker. Keep praising the miracle worker. I could be looking at the natural, no buildings, no people. But no, I keep my eyes on Him. Tests reveal who you are. Paul was an implementer of the PMA guidelines. Paul was a meditator in the Word every day. Paul was a prayer every day. And Paul was a worshiper every single day. Praise and worship was a big part of Paul's deliverance, right? Just as much as being prepared in the Word and prayer. And you got to be a person of praise to be a person of faith. Now, we're going to pray here in a second, but when we're done, we're going to practice. Yes. Be doers of the Word. You need to get out of your comfort zone. Yeah. Well, I want this spirit of oppression to leave me another way. Got to do it God's way. Right. Well, I want to be able to hit the golf ball the way I hold a baseball bat. Sorry, kid. It's not going to work that way. Right. Praise God. So I ask you right now to go ahead and bow your heads and to close your eyes. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for the Word tonight. My goodness, this is our help. This series is our help going forward. These guidelines, and Father, of course, I know, tongue-in-cheek, the PMA guidelines, these are straight from Your Word. I didn't come up with these, Father. I didn't make these up. This is straight help from heaven. Spiritual exercises to stay spiritually strong in the time when the test comes from the spiritual devil who tries to steal, kill, and destroy from us. I thank You for victory for all of us. Father, I thank You for those that, Father, were ignorant to these, becoming in the know. I thank You for those that have known but haven't done, becoming doers. And I thank You for those that know and do, that they're strengthened in what they're doing and they'll press in even farther, Father. Help for all of us. Now, before we get to praising Him, I want to address, I don't know everybody that's watching or listening, of what your history is with God, what your history is with church. But my greatest desire for mankind is God's greatest desire. That's why it's my greatest desire, because it's God's greatest desire. I just copy what He does. Is that nobody on earth would perish and go to hell. God created heaven. He didn't create hell for people. Hell was created for the devil and the third of the angels that fell with the devil. Heaven was created for us. God gives us an opportunity to go to heaven. It's a free gift. He says, I don't want anybody to perish. And so many people, you know, they think they're going to heaven. Maybe they think wrongly. And because there's, you know, you can think you're going to Disney World, but if you don't have the right ticket, you're not getting in. And you can think, you know, that what you're doing in life, you're disqualified from heaven, but I think it's important to look at what the qualifications are. And the Bible says that if we receive Jesus, John 3:16 says, if you believe on Jesus, you won't perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:13 says, if you'll call on His name, you'll be saved. Nowhere in there does it say that if you go to church, you're going to heaven. Nowhere does it say if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds and you're moral and have lived a good, kind life to people that you're going to heaven. Nowhere does it say if you're a charitable giver and your finances, that gets you into heaven. No. Just like on the same token, it doesn't say if you don't go to church, you can't go to heaven. It doesn't say if you've been a bad person and maybe haven't been so moral that you're kept out of heaven. And it doesn't say if you've been a cheapskate and haven't been charitable at all that you're kept out of heaven. No. Being a good person doesn't get you in, just like being a bad person doesn't keep you out. Going to church doesn't get you into heaven, just like not going to church doesn't keep you out. It depends on what you do with the Son of God. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So if you're listening and you're watching right now, I encourage you to bow your heads and close your eyes. God wants you to go to heaven. God wants to be a father to you. He wants to guide you and help you and bless you. You say, well, I thought I'm already a child of God because I'm a human being. No, you're His creation, but the Bible's very specific of who are God's children. John 1 and verse 12 says, to those that receive Jesus, to them He gave the right to be called the children of God. So if you can say, Pastor Mike, I've never received Jesus. I've never asked Him into my heart. Here's your opportunity to get in the greatest family there ever was, to shore up your eternity, to have a Father on this earth that wants to bless you and help you and invade every area of your life and make it better. But first you have to make a decision for Jesus. It's up to you. He's not going to force Himself on you. It's up to you. But if you want to receive Jesus and you can say, you know what? I've never officially received Him. I've never asked Him into my heart. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? I'm going to ask everybody, even including ones that you're already born again, you're already in the family, let's join our faith with people that may be watching that have never received Jesus. And let's all of us lift our voices and let's mean this and pray this from the bottom of our heart, declaring our belief in Jesus and receiving Him into our heart. Once and for all, assuring our eternity and becoming a part of His family. For those of you that are watching that you've never done this before, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And those that are watching, you have done this before, let's join our faith together with these people. And say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that You are real. And I believe
that You died on the cross
for my sin.
And I believe
that You rose from the dead.
And I ask You
to come into my heart.
Thank You for saving me.
In Jesus'
name,
amen.
If you prayed that for the first time, congratulations.
And you might not understand everything and not know all there is to know about God and the Bible and about Jesus, but that's okay.
If you meant it when you prayed, your belief in declaring in Him, you're saved. You're a child of God.
Heaven is your destination. God is your Father.
I do encourage you to give me a phone call. Reach out through email. Let me know you prayed this for the first time. I'd like to get in contact with you to congratulate you, to get to know you, but to let you know what your next step is.
Thank God we're saved, and thank God we have heaven.
But God wants us to be blessed on the earth.
And there's things that we need to know and cooperate with Him in order for that to happen. His blessings don't automatically happen for us.
So we'd love for you to walk in your best life ever.
Well, we just talked about praise, and I know this can make some people very uncomfortable, but we're not interested in your comfort level.
We're interested in your blessing level.
And you need to start getting out of your comfort zone and worshiping God.
Why?
God's power comes in on the wings of worship.
So I encourage you, by faith, stand up right now in your home, where you're at.
See, I don't even know what to say. You could do what I said, just start saying Jesus. You start saying that name above all names, an anointing will come in. What's another thing you could say? Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. What's another thing? Father, you are a great God. You are a miracle. Just praising Him, thanking Him. Just begin to praise and thank Him with me. We got to get used to doing this stuff. Father, we praise You tonight. Lord, You are good, and Your mercy endureth forever. Father, there's none like You. You are a miracle-working God. And I thank You, Lord, if I need a miracle, all I got to know is that You are a miracle-working God, and what You did for them, You'll do for me. Father, there's nothing too hard for You. No matter what I'm facing, no matter what the doctors say, no matter what the finances say, no matter what the circumstances say, You are more powerful. You are mightier. You are bigger and stronger. You are wonderful. Father, nothing can hold You down. Nothing can hold You back. You're a God of power. You're a God of miracles. You're a God of signs and wonders. You're a God of suddenlies. You're the God of deliverance. You're the God of turnarounds. You're the God of healing. You're the God of prosperity. You're the God of provision. You're the God of joy. You're the God of peace. And I magnify You, Father. You are good, and Your mercy endures forever. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That name above all names. That name that sets the captives free. That name that brings deliverance. That name that drives out sickness. That name that drives out disease. That name that drives out lack. That name that drives out poverty. That name that drives out depression. That name that drives out fear. That name that drives out anxiety. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. We magnify You, Jesus. We praise You, Jesus. I encourage you, in your home, do this for a half an hour. Turn the TV off. Turn your movie off. Do this for an hour. Say, praise God for an hour. I dare you. Pacing the floor. Praising Him. Stirring yourself up. Getting the anointing to drop and to fall. You know what's found in the anointing? Answers is found in the anointing. Revelation is found in the anointing. Encouragement's found in the anointing. Father, we praise You. But I don't feel like doing it. Who cares? I don't want to do it. Who cares? We praise You, Lord. We magnify You, Lord. Those suffering with depression, this is Your answer. Those suffering with grief, this is Your answer. Those feeling oppressed, this is Your answer. You need answer, this is Your answer. We praise You, Lord. We bless You and magnify You. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Father, we thank You that we were helped tonight. We glorify You and praise You. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I love you and appreciate you. Don't forget, we'll be back here Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Come hungry, come ready for your life to be changed. I love you. You are dismissed.